book of Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Set out for the great city of Nineveh, and announce to it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah made ready, and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city, and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had this proclaimed throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles. Neither man nor beast, neither cattle nor sheep, shall taste anything. They shall not eat, nor shall they drink water. Man and beast shall be covered with sackcloth and call loudly to God. Every person shall turn from his evil way and from the violence he has in hand. Who knows, God may relent and forgive and withhold his blazing wrath, so that we shall not perish. When God saw by their actions how they turned from the evil way, he repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. And our gospel reading is from the gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, verse 29 to 32. While the crowds pressed around him, Jesus began to speak to them in these words. This is an evil age. It seeks a sign. But no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah was a sign for the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be a sign for this present age. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment along with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them. She came from the farthest corner of the world to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. But you have a greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the citizens of Nineveh will rise along with the present generation, and they will condemn it. For at the preaching of Jonah, they repented. But you have a greater than Jonah here. Now the book of Jonah, we regard it now as a fictional tale, and a very interesting one, because in a rather cheeky, satirical manner, it challenges its Israelite audience about its perception of itself as the chosen people. Many scholars feel that the figure of Jonah presents a critical view of Israelite prophecy and Israelite society that he represents, and it does so by focusing on its mortal enemy, the Assyrian superpower with its capital in Nineveh, which is present-day Mosul. Jonah does his best to avoid God's commission to preach a message to the hated Ninevites by taking ship to faraway Tarshish. But in a biting yet amusing tale, Jonah ends up in the belly of a fish that, on God's command, vomits him out back on land, which is where our reading commences. This time, Jonah, spewed forth from the fish, preaches the message of God, but only to witness the Ninevites heeding it, repenting and howling to God for mercy, down to the very last cow and sheep. It's ridiculous, of course, but so the story implies, is the inability of God's prophet and God's people to change his or their perception of a hated enemy. And, what is worse, the expectation of how God should treat such enemies. According to Jonah's perception, they should be destroyed forthwith. as ancient echoes of sentiments that are still heard in various parts of the world, even now, in our own time. God must obey our agenda. Much the same sentiment occurs, we could say, in a somewhat different form in the Gospel. In the scene that Luke creates, instead of being willing to change, to accept that they don't have it all together, Jesus' adversaries demand that he perform a sign. He must be the one who changes. It must be a sign that they approve of. So, they retain control, and Jesus is answerable to them. In responding to them, Jesus, like the author of the book of Jonah, draws on the example of a foreigner to point out the right attitude or response that one should make to his teaching, to God's teaching, to his call to repent and believe in the kingdom of God. In this case, Jesus draws on the example of the foreigner, the legendary Queen of Sheba, or, as Luke puts it, the Queen of the South, the wisest ruler in antiquity. According to the legend, she was willing to come from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, to learn what is the better thing, even though it may not have been what she expected or wanted, and to be willing to change for the better. So, as we launch into another season of Lent, the age-old challenge confronts us again, as it did the listeners and readers of the book of Jonah, as it did Jesus' audience in the Gospel. When it comes to changing our ways, perhaps by listening to these readings, we need to remember two things. One is that change of itself need not be a good thing. We may change all right, but it can be for the worse. The other is that the Bible asserts that we cannot make the right and necessary changes by ourselves. We need the grace of God to do so. Jesus provided us both with the sign and with the grace to do so in his death and resurrection. So, in this season of Lent, let us pray for that much-needed grace that we may make the necessary changes.